What's up, Abundant Babe? I'm so glad you found your way here. You're in the right place for the highest of vibes, the silliest of laughs, and the best of the bunch. All things related to spiritual entrepreneurship and creating holistic success. This is your host, Viola Hug, a coach for women who desire to have it all, alignment, wealth, impact, and joy. Come find me at Viola Hug on Instagram, join my free Abundant Babes group on Facebook, or grab a copy of my best-selling book, You Are an Abundant Babe, on Amazon. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast. It's so good to have you here. I am joined today with the amazing Rachel White. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
If you don't already know Rachel, you need to get in her vibe. She is so awesome. We met like in real life, like I know 3D in person, we've hugged before. True story. When she's from Australia, but she was like, doing, like, I guess, what do you call it? She was just working in New Zealand for like 6 months. And, now she is no longer working at the job that she was working in. She's a coach, a yogi. She's an author, freaking best-selling author on Amazon. And she is also the host of the Gentle podcast, which is super, super cool. So Rachel and I have been super close the past few months because she's also working with me. So I'm so happy to welcome you onto the podcast, Rachel.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay! So firstly, because I remembered, please share your Instagram. So if people want to kind of like nosy through your Instagram as they're listening, they can find you.
It is at by Rachel White.
Yeah. Like BY, correct?
Yeah.
Amazing. Love that. So, okay. Rachel, you're from Australia, but tell us a little bit more, like what's your story? And I know you've got like a lot of, I'm sure it will come up when you share your story, but you've got so much branding around this like gentle vibe. Like tell me more about, like where you started, how that developed, and really what that all means to you.
Yeah, so I am from Australia, like you said, in a regional town called Mildura. So it's like 6 hours out of Melbourne. And growing up, I have four siblings and my grandfather and auntie lived with us. So it was like a really big household when I was growing up. And I always felt like I was kind of labeled as the quiet one or the shy one, and really like I didn't really see myself as that. I just was more like internal with my thoughts, and from that I kind of developed this sense of pressure to achieve things because everything was so loud around me that the only way I felt like I got any kind of attention was when I was like achieving something, like when I got an award or I was good at sports, and things like that came really easy to me. Like school was just like, I just knew if I showed up and listened, then I would be able to do well. So I kind of really created this identity early on as the young achiever or like the doer. And I really loved the praise and attention I got from those things because like back then I really felt like it was the only time I got any kind of attention, which I really craved, like as a child.
Yeah.
And then going on like through high school, it was kind of the same. And even after that, when I started university, I was involved in like a lot of volunteer things, a lot of programs, and I like got a lot of awards and stuff as well. And it was kind of like the same thing. Like I always had the next achievement in mind, even if it was like an award or something like that. There was always like the next mountain to climb, and it would be like this real high buzz, and then it would be like, okay, what's next? And it was like I was constantly searching for this sense of fulfillment and sense of belonging and sense of worth, and I was looking for all of these things just completely outside of myself. Like I never really thought to look inwards for any of that. And then like fast forward a little bit to 2015, at the start of 2015, my pop passed away, and it was kind of the first death in the family of someone that I was really close to. Like my pop lived with us as we were growing up, and he was from New Zealand, and a lot of his New Zealand family came over to Australia for the funeral. And I just got this like crazy idea planted in my head that I'm going to go and live and work in New Zealand for half a year. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really give it any thought. I was just like, yep, I'm doing it. So that's what I did. And at that point in time, before I moved to New Zealand, I was working full time, doing an intensive 9-month leadership program. I was on 5 different community boards and committees, mm-hmm. and I was playing netball, which was like a 3-day-a-week commitment. Mm. And I did like see my family a lot as well, and I did have a social life as well. And I was also studying full-time loan. So like I had a really full-on life.
And can I just let the audience know as well, for those of you who are human design nerds, which you probably are if you ever listened to this podcast before, Rachel's a manifester, just for context. So that's a lot.
It was a lot. And at the time, like people would tell me, oh, that's so much you're going to benefit. And I was like, no, I can do anything. I can keep going and I'm going to do so well at every single thing I'm doing. And like I was doing well, but I was like forcing myself to do well in everything.
That's like the story of my life in 2015 too, by the way.
So then I moved to New Zealand and the only thing I had were like full-time work while I was there, but that was like literally the only thing. Like I'd go to work, I'd come home, and all of a sudden I had all of this space and time, and I really just like literally did not know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just stumbled into mindfulness. I think it was because I saw like mindful coloring books, so they kind of like were just starting to come out, like mm-hmm. starting to get popular back then. Then I just started like reading a book a week because I had so much time, and I had like over an hour on public transport a day. So I was just like reading while I was on there, and I started to really dive into like spirituality, mindset, confidence. And at the start, this was all because I wanted to be like better at my job. I thought mindfulness would help me excel at my accounting career more. And from mindfulness, I think that's kind of where, I started to look more into spiritual things. After I got more into yoga, I went to like a lot of yoga classes while I was in New Zealand. Mm. And then I met you there too.
Yeah.
And I just kind of really stumbled into that kind of world. And while I was there, I decided to do like an online meditation course, and I never actually finished it, but I learned a lot while I was studying that. And yeah, it was just a really eye-opening experience. And I think the contrast of like my life back at home, yeah, kind of really highlighted that maybe I was taking on too much. But as soon as I got back home, I kind of like dived back in to most of it. And then in 2016, I just got like an idea to do my life coach training, which was like a 6-month course. Mm-hmm. And I also like, okay, so one more thing about New Zealand is that when I was there, even though I kind of liked the break and I loved my weekends and all the cool new things I got to do, I really wasn't enjoying the working life there. Like it was really a depressing environment that I just hated. So I kind of like developed a little bit of a shopping addiction. And then when I got home, I was like, oh, I had such a hard time. I just really deserve to treat myself. So I bought a new car. I bought a new phone. I bought like a $2,000 blender because like I deserved it.
Yeah, and, totally.
And I booked like a trip to Japan, and I signed up to my life coach training, and that was all just like to reward myself for the half year I didn't enjoy New Zealand.
Yeah.
I did my life coach training, and that kind of took me more down like the road of like mindset, and just like I feel like I've always been designed to be some kind of teacher and to mm-hmm. guide other people. And coaching just kind of, it kind of gave me that opportunity to keep my accounting career and to coach some people on the side. And then in 2017, I did my yoga teacher training. So for like a few years before I left my job, I was doing all of these things that really lit me up on the side. And for a few years, like that was kind of enough just to get a little bit of it on the side and then keep my accounting career, because like I was professional and that was what everyone saw me as. And mm-hmm. yeah, even though I wasn't loving it at all times, I did like have this ambition and have this drive to like be a success. And I got into accounting because I wanted to help people grow their business. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what, like, there are all these different types of accountants, but in public practice, the accounting that I was working in, yes, there's like tax returns and numbers and all of that, but a big part of it is talking to people about their business and helping them grow. And that's what I wanted to do. But I found that I was kind of more stuck in the compliance side and I wasn't really helping anyone. And I felt all these like rules and, yeah, like these like professional rules were stuck around me that like there were only certain things I was allowed to talk about. Like I wasn't allowed to talk to people about their mindset in their business or their stress levels. It was all about like professional things, like mm-hmm, the numbers mm-hmm. and all of that.
Right.
So then in last year, 2018, I made the decision to leave accounting to at the time, like I didn't really have a firm plan on what I was going to do. Like I knew I would keep teaching yoga classes and doing like the online stuff that I was kind of doing, but I didn't have a firm plan. I just knew that the work that I was doing, working full time, being in that kind of environment just was not fulfilling me in any way. And I really just knew that I couldn't keep searching outside of myself for this sense of fulfillment. I had to really find it within myself, and I knew that the first step was just to get out of that environment, because if I stayed in that environment and tried to find worth within myself, I feel like it just wasn't aligned, so it wasn't going to happen. So even though everyone said that I was crazy, I just left. And I was I guess I was really fortunate that at that time, like I could do that, and I could comfortably kind of do nothing for like a few months and still be okay. So that was really good to have all that support in that way. But yeah, so then I kind of spent a few months just sitting on the couch and doing nothing, because I wanted to avoid all forms of stress and all forms of pressure. And then I kind of just one day was like, okay, like I'm ready to step back into the world, and if I'm going to do it, then it may as well be like as my full self, doing the things that I love. And like not long after I kind of made that declaration, I started working with you, and I, you know, like relaunched like the coaching side of my business, changed heaps of things that I'm doing, like started the podcast, wrote a book. And I feel like it's only been less than six months that I kind of fully stepped into my business and fully stepped into my soul work. But it feels like it feels like this is what I've been meant to be doing for like my whole life. And it just feels so natural and so freeing. And I feel like I'm just always meant to be like in control, or like the boss of my own work. Like I feel like I could never go back to working for someone else. I just love the freedom of being able to help people in the way that like I intuitively feel like they need it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a little bit of my story.
I love that. It's so cool. And I mean, I feel like so many people will be able to relate with so many different parts of your story, from like one, this like kind of like really feeling like validation through achievements, because I definitely had that in my story as well. And yeah, I mean, that brings its own kind of like challenge and interesting things when you move into entrepreneurship as well. It's because it's like, you've got to be okay with celebrating and validating yourself. So it's like a completely different energy again.
Yeah.
But then, talk to me more a little bit about your branding around Gentle, because you have your book, right? Gentle Glow.
Yeah.
You have a 2020 like journal/planner thing, right?
Yeah.
Which is also under this branding. And you have your podcast, and I know you have multiple programs and stuff like that as well available with this kind of like branding of Gentle. Like, can you talk to us about like, where was that born within your journey?
Yeah, so that was really born at the start of this year when when I was kind of in that stage of avoiding all stress. And I really, like, when I was at that state of just like only wanted to sit on the couch and not do anything else, I just keep seeing all these messages, like on social media and even like some like local people as well, just saying things along the lines of like, if you're not getting results, you just need to try harder. And like basically all messages all along those lines. And I just really started to think that like, I literally could not try harder. Like I tried my hardest for so long, and I just feel like, and when they talked about that, like it would then be followed by like their process. Like, you need to do this, this, and this. And if you just do this, this, and this, then you'll be right. And if you don't get that result, then it's just, it's all on you. Yeah. And I thought, oh, I just like, and it really like triggered me to, like, it made me feel sad for myself. But then I started thinking about all the other women that are like me and that thrive under nurturing, supportive leadership. Yeah. And I thought, I have to create something that's for me and for them. And so I then, that's kind of when I started to create a program called Gentle Vitality. And I didn't, it was never going to be left with the name Gentle Vitality, but that's just the wording I used to describe it. I was like, I want to create something that helps women feel vitality in a way that's really nurturing and gentle. And then the name kind of just stuck from there. And gentle for me means to let go of force and control, like to let go of other people trying to drill sergeant you into their way of doing things. And to just do things in a way that feels nurturing for your mind, body, and soul. Like, we don't have to force, we don't have to control, we don't have to do things just because other people are doing them. And I feel like doing things in a gentle way is just, like, when I say the word gentle, it just feels so nurturing. Like, it's really fulfilling at all levels.
And it's so interesting. Yeah, so then, oh, sorry, keep going.
I was just going to say that, like, yeah, so the word gentle kind of just, it, like, that was the feeling I wanted to capture in everything I did after that. So, yeah, it just stuck from there.
And I think this brings up, like, so many interesting sides of conversation, because, one, it's, like, even though you grew up with this, like, real kind of, like, achieve, do all the things mentality, there's, like, a part of your intuition that was, like, telling you that that was not necessarily the way that you had to do it. And like, one, being a manifester, it's like, that is not the vibe. But then two as well, there's like, I feel like we've come out of a world where the kind of like grind, hustle, whatever was the way to achieve success, like back in kind of like more traditional business days, that was like what people had back then. You know, it was like, if you were a shoemaker and there was another shoemaker in town, only one of you could be on top, you know, like that was just that. But nowadays with the internet and with all of the access that we have, it's like a completely different world of business. And in my opinion, I mean, I know we see eye to eye on this in many ways, but it's like, we're meant to thrive individually, which means that now, like, we are able to be successful being exactly who we are, which means that if we don't thrive in pushing ourselves to the limit, and we don't thrive in like trying harder, quote unquote, you know, then there's a way for us to succeed without doing that.
Yes, I agree. And I feel like even though like being gentle doesn't mean you're not ambitious and want to achieve things. Like, I feel like I'm still very ambitious and still set like these visionary goals and things. Definitely. I just know that like, I don't have to push myself to burnout to get there, like exactly what you just said.
Yeah. And that's a really good point to clarify as well. Cause I think that's definitely it. Like, because for me, like, I remember when people told me as well, like, oh my God, like, how do you work so hard? And I'm like, oh, I just love working hard. And when I first heard about human design and I found out I was a manifestor, I was like, no. And the reason why I didn't, I was like, no, I don't like human design. Because I read the part about how like manifestors, they like thrive more when they don't work that much. And it like pissed me off because I built an identity around working hard. You know, like I built an identity about always being the person that stays up the extra hour, that gets up an hour earlier, that does the work a little bit harder. Like that quote, like, while you're resting, I'm building my dreams. Like that was like me, you know? Mm-hmm. And it up till that point in my life, even though it wasn't actually working, but in my perspective at that time, the only thing that I'd seen working in my life was when I worked really, really hard. And it was like always like if I wasn't getting what I wanted, I would just work harder. And I would burn out and I would be exhausted. But I also loved it in the sense that I loved that I was doing something for myself. I loved that I was not going into something that felt like it was work I didn't want to do. You know, like I would rather stay up all night working on something that I wanted to do rather than go to work for 8 hours for something I didn't want to do. You know, so there was a part of me that was really convinced that I loved it and I did love the work. I just did not love how I was doing it. And I just find it so funny that as soon as I like was like, okay, that's it. Like I'm committing to my human design. And I made that commitment as soon as I launched my business. It was like, I'm building my business in line with my human design. And suddenly like everything just got easier. And I'm like, oh, okay. So what they say is true. Like you can have fun and you can, you know, like you really, really do not need to burn yourself out to have what you want. Like that is just such an old idea.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so interesting, like when I was working full-time as an accountant, like the kind of norm there was for people to get in at like 7 a.m and not leave till like 6-7 p.m. and that was like just crazy to me. And I was more of the like be there from 8:30 to 5 because that was like the mandatory hours. But if mm-hmm. I'm honest, I did walk in late like a lot of days. and I just felt like I feel like I got the same, if not more, work done as everyone else for being there less hours. But yeah. I was still, like, there was still this sense of, like, judgment from some colleagues that, like, I wasn't there as long as everyone else. But I felt, and then, so when I found out about, like, human design and being a manifest, I was like, yeah, like, I was just, like, more efficient with my energy and like with the work I was doing. And it kind yeah. of made me feel like this sense of relief that like mm-hmm. yes, like I don't have to work long hours like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I figured that out pretty quickly for myself with human design after, but it was just so funny how like I wanted to reject it straight away and I was like, I relate with everything but that. And then as soon as I like learned about like being conditioned, I was like, oh. And like two manifesting generator parents growing up in a society where most people are generator, manifesting generator type, I was like, oh, I see how this happened, you know, like, but it's not just like, I don't even think it's just a human design thing at all. Like, I think for us, because we're both manifestors, like there's a part of us that really resonates with it because of that piece of our energy. But I believe this like kind of approach that you have is actually relevant for anyone, regardless of their human design, because even generators and stuff need to take that on board. Because for generators, it's also not just like doing just for the sake of doing it either. Right? Like it's about being in the right energetic alignment. It's about following what actually feels good for you, like checking in with yourself, knowing your body, like rather than just taking on everything in the world that's around you, actually getting to know what is it that you desire, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that was like a huge, I think that when we take on too much and when we're doing things that aren't aligned, like it just creates pressure, and then pressure the things we aren't passionate about at all just leads to stress. And yeah. When I first created that first gentle program, like me learning and researching about stress and the impact it has on like our mind, body and soul, it was just so crazy. And I just thought like, why don't people know that everything they're doing is creating this stress and creating all these ridiculous impacts in their whole being? So yeah, I completely agree that we all need to like stress less. And that's kind of what led me into more of a like restorative yin yoga practice. When I first started doing yoga, like I really loved the flow style because it was like really stimulating for the mind. It felt like a challenge. Mm-hmm. But now like I would say most of my practice and teaching is in more of a restorative meditative state. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, I feel like the whole world just needs to chill out a bit and tune into their mind. Yes. Yeah. And just like relax. Like, I just see so much stress and tension. Like, you can just see, like, when people walk around with their shoulders hunched up, you can just tell that they're just so stressed. I just feel like walking up to them and pressing their shoulders down, telling them to take a deep breath. I do that all the time to my yoga students. I'm like, okay, time to relax, release.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit more about this, like, stress thing, because I feel like that this would be really interesting for people. Like, what kind of things have you found, like, when you say that stress really impacts your body, mind, and soul, like, what kind of things, and I don't know if you also have a perspective on this, but I'd be interested to hear, like, do you think that stress is, like, it comes out in a one-size-fits-all thing? And the reason that I ask is because I feel like I already know the answer, which is no, but I would love your opinion on what that actually is. But for me, it's like, I never really would have identified with feeling stress, because when I imagine stress, I imagine, like, you know, you see those, like, not emojis, but they're like those icons or whatever. And it's like a person, like, with a briefcase and papers flying everywhere and their hair is all frazzled and, like, pulling their hair out. And I'm like, I've never been like that, but I have had where stress impacts so many levels of my life, but it was like almost like a more subtle version of stress, you know, like, it wasn't, you couldn't pick it up as easy on the outside, but it was for sure, like, on the inside.
Yeah, that was definitely the same for me. Like, so many people commented on how I just seemed to, like, have my life together, but on the inside I was, like, just so stressed all the time. So, like, the first thing to know about stress is that our body has a stress response, which is, like, the fight or flight, which I'm sure most people have heard of. And the thing about our body is that it doesn't know the difference between a physical threat and a psychological threat, and both triggers the exact same stress response. So it doesn't matter if you're, like, literally being chased by someone with a knife, or you're just sitting at your desk and someone is sent a, like, demanding email. Like, in both situations, like, someone chasing you with a knife, like, your life is literally in danger. But when you're sitting at a desk, you're just psychologically in some kind of emotional danger. And the body has the same response, which is to release adrenaline. And what that does is direct our blood flow to our limbs, so our arms and legs, so that we can either fight or run away. But when we're sitting at our desk, we're not actually using that energy that our body has just all of a sudden created. So we're just, like, sitting at our desk or sitting wherever, just, like, on edge. And then all that blood is directed away from our digestive system, away from our vital organs, away from our brain. So our, like, we can't think as good, we can't digest as good. That's just, like, one thing that happens. And then if we have prolonged stress, then we start to release cortisol, which is, like, the long-term stress hormone. And just, like, starting with the impact on the body, like, there's three main hormones that are impacted when we have prolonged states of stress. And that is, like, one, our progesterone level drops, which impacts, like, our cycles, our energy levels, because when we're in a constant state of stress, like, our body thinks that, like, our life is in constant danger. So it thinks, like, there's no way you can bring a baby into this world if you're just in, like, constant danger all the time. So that's why our progesterone levels are downregulated, so that we, it impacts our fertility. And it also impacts, like, our energy in the second phase of our cycle. So, like, that's one thing. And then it impacts our insulin resistance, and it also impacts our thyroid glands. And our thyroid regulates our heart rate, body temperature, metabolism. So just, like, those three, like, hormone changes has a massive impact on, like, our physical body, the way we store fat, the way that we can generate energy and all of that. And then the impact that stress has on our mind is that when we're stressed, where our brain waves go into this beta state. And now when our brain is in beta, it's like in that problem solving, just thinking, all the thoughts coming up at once state. And the only way to access our highest form of intelligence is to be in an alpha brainwave state. And we physically can't be in an alpha brainwave state when we're stressed. So we can't, this is why I think so many people do so poorly in exams, because they go in stressed and they literally cannot access their highest intelligence,
right,
or their creativity when they're not in that alpha state. And then that impacts like us at a soul level as well, because when our mind doesn't have any stillness, when it's constantly in that beta state with like a million things going on at once, like it's really challenging to hear the intuitive messages. It's like it's harder to distinguish between like what is just our monkey mind thoughts saying to us and what is our intuition trying to say to us. And like, while not impossible, when I feel like we need to be in a state of stillness to really tune into our intuition and hear the messages more clearly. And I feel like it's just, it blows my mind to think that most people are living every day like that, where it's just like always stress, like, and then the impacts that that stress has on our body just like then flows onto our mind, then downgrades our energy, and it's just like this cycle of not knowing how to rest and not being able to listen to the intuitive messages telling us to rest, and creating more stress and more pressure. And just thinking sometimes when we're in that state of stress, it's like we think the way out is to think more and to do more, but really that's like the last thing we need to do. We actually need to stop and do nothing for a while.
Oh my God, preach. This is like totally what I feel. Oh my gosh, I love that. So this is so interesting. I love how you like broke it down like that, because it's like, I feel like this is the thing, and this is like probably one of the things that blew my mind the most. Like one of the things that I learned while I was like doing my degree, which for those of you who don't know, I have a Bachelor of Science. I'm actually a scientist, fun fact. And one of the things that blew my mind the most is that stress has the same physical damage on the body as would smoking a cigarette. Like, even though it's like this invisible thing, and this is why I never like perceived stress to be an actual threat, is because I'm like, whatever, you know what I mean? I'm just like, stress is just something you think or feel. Like, how does that have an effect? But it actually can create the same cellular damage as a cigarette could, or as getting a sunburn or whatever, right? Like, it causes free radical damage inside the body. And when you break it down like that, like where you actually see, this is how it affects the hormones, this is how it affects your brain waves, like you can actually start to see that there is like this whole shebang going on inside of you that's like actually science. It's not just like this woo thing. So my question, I have like two questions that I would love to ask you from this. Like, one, now we both said that we identified with having more of like a gentle, calm state of stress, if that is totally an oxymoron, but you know, like a stress that's not like so outwardly. How would someone be able to identify if they are in stress? Like, is that something that you know how to answer? Is that even a question that can be answered?
Well, I think some ways is that, like, if you feel like your mind is constant, like, chatter, you've probably got some level of stress. If you're taking, like, really short and shallow breaths,
your body
is in a state of stress. And, like, you can feel it in the physical tension in your body. Like, if you're walking around with your shoulders shrugged and, like, your body just feels tense, then you're probably stressed as well. But sometimes when we're in a state of stress, it can be more challenging to recognize within ourselves.
Yes.
But just like taking that little moment of awareness that, like, our body, as soon as we take five just deep belly breaths, we like instantly start to switch from fight or flight into rest and repair. So I think like our breath is our greatest tool to recognize when we're stressed and to release stress as well.
That's basically like answering my second question, because that's what I was going to ask you, like, how could someone become more mindful of this and manage that a little bit better as well, because obviously it has a huge, huge, huge effect. And breath, which again is like fucking magic, like I don't know where this whole like, why is everything invisible like the coolest things in the world like and have the most impact, but it's like our breath, which again seems so like irrelevant, has huge effects. It like basically has reversing effects on all those things you just talked about that stress has on the body by the way that you're breathing, right? The way that you breathe. So can, like, I know you said deep belly breaths, but can you, like, I don't know, someone listening might like not necessarily know what that means. Can you go into that a little bit further? And then also if you have any other tips for, yeah, like relieving that stress, that would be cool too.
Yeah, definitely. So like in yoga, the word pranayama is like controlled breathing, and what it prana means life force, and ayama means extension. So like 5,000 year old yogic philosophy knows that extending the breath extends our life, because oxygen is our life force. So like it makes sense when we that's think so about cool. it like that. So there's all different kind of methods of pranayama you can do, but the most basic, the deep belly breaths that I mentioned before, it's breathing in and out through your nose. And as you inhale, allowing your belly to fully rise, like holding for half a second at the top, and then exhaling as slow as possible. So the only way to signal to our body that we're safe, and the only way to release stress is to signal to the body that we're safe, is to extend the length of our exhale. Like that's the only way, because if our life was in danger, we wouldn't be able to stop and take these deep breaths. So as soon as we extend the length of our exhale, our body knows that we're safe, and it knows that it can start to enter that state of healing and resting, as opposed to getting ready to fight or run away from something. So as a like six counts to breathe in and then six counts to breathe out is like a good rule of thumb, but if you're used to taking those like really short shallow breaths, you've probably decreased your lung capacity. So just starting with, even if it's just three counts in, three counts out, whatever your lung capacity can hold. But if you notice that you do have that low lung capacity, that's just an even bigger sign for you that you need to take deep breaths like every day. And for me, like as soon as I wake up in the morning, like before I do anything else, like I just take five deep breaths. Whenever I start to notice I feel like a little on edge, I just like stop and take deep breaths. And yeah, like deep breathing is like a big part of my life now. But interestingly, before I started studying yoga, I feel like I always forgot to breathe. And it sounds like really silly, because like breathing is automatic, but I would be like working and then all of a sudden I would be like gasping for air, like I just like forgot to breathe. And that can be really common when we're in that state of stress, that like our brain is so busy trying to get us to do other things that it's like for just a second we forget to breathe. And I used to not be able to breathe in and out through my nose, like it would just feel really uncomfortable.
Oh my god, Rachel, this is the same thing that I used to have. Like, and I even like occasionally, it still happens to me now, and Nick's like, you're not breathing. And I'm like, oh fuck. Like I'll just be like sitting there and I'll be holding my breath. It's so weird. Yeah. And like, I don't do it as much anymore, but I for sure used to do it so badly. And I remember when I first would start trying to do inhales, I would notice that my lung capacity was like so shit that I'd be like and it's like my breath would like try and force it out as soon as I like inhaled, and they were so shallow. And I just want to say one more part on that, because I think this was like one of the biggest things that shocked me, because I used to think I was taking deep breaths but what I would do is I wouldn't be like, you hear, oh, take a deep belly breath, whatever, but what I was doing is I was like totally breathing into my chest. And so I just want to give this like shout out to anyone, like just be aware of this for yourself. Like if you notice that when you inhale and your shoulders move up, that's not the right breath. Like the right breath is when only your belly moves, right? Would you say that's right? Yeah, because that was like a huge thing for me that I like when I like realized that, I realized that at a Tony Robbins event, funny enough, because he was like, deep breath. And then he's like, everyone who shrugged their shoulders, you're not doing it right. And I was like, oh shit. Like I never even thought of that.
Yeah. Like it's so funny that we need to teach people how to breathe again.
It is. And you know, what's so crazy is like babies know how to breathe so well, but then all of this like stress, all of this like stuff, like conditions your body. And yeah, you really have to teach it to breathe again. But it's the same with like movement. Like you have to keep active with these things in their most optimal state. Like there's a difference between just living and there's a difference between living optimally, right? Like you can just live and never move your body and never exercise, and then you'll be like a hunched over old whatever if you make it that old. But you can also thrive. Like you see these people that are like, it blows my mind, even though like Arnold Schwarzenegger hasn't lived like a super healthy lifestyle by any means, it blows my mind he's like in his mid 70s and he still looks so good. you know, like it blows my mind. And then there's just so many other, like probably even better examples than him, of people who are just really, really thriving into their older age. And it's because they like, when you like know what's important and you consistently train that or have awareness around it, I think is what makes it so much better rather than just being like, oh, it happens anyway, you know, and just get complacent.
Yeah, definitely. Like breathing, meditation and yoga. Like it's all about like maintenance to an extent. It's like you don't just go to the gym once and think, okay, I'm fit now, don't need to go again. Like everything is that continuous journey.
Yeah. And one other funny thing that I just thought of, like when you were saying before, like when you take the deep breaths, it like tells your body that you're not in stress. This is one of the things that I do when I'm watching like scary movies or like not even scary, but like action movies. And like, you know, you get real into it and you're like, and you're like, kind of like with the actors. And like what I do, and especially now that I'm pregnant, because I don't want my like womb to think that I'm in danger or something. Because again, like the mind can't tell what's real and what's not. So whenever I like watch movies like that and I notice myself getting like this excitable breathing or energy, like I start taking really deep breaths and I'm just like, it's fine. And if there's like a scary part on a movie, I'm always like, and it's like, it's actually hard to do. Like when you do feel like, when you feel the fear from the movie, but yeah, like, by the way, if you, if you love movies like that.
Yes, that's so true. Like I always feel like on edge when I watch like action movies, and I do like them. So
I know, same. I love them, and that it's like sometimes I'm like, I don't know what this is doing to my body right now, but I like really, really love like high energy movies. But yeah, I just focus on my breathing.
Yeah, that's such a good tip because, like you said, our body doesn't know what's real and what's not real. So we consume through our eyes. So we're watching these movies and our body thinks like, oh my God, like what is happening right now? But if you do just take those deep breaths, then it is, it kind of counters those messages.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, funny. Okay, so deep breaths, this awareness, like these are kind of like the main things that we can do to really support our body in being in a more calm, peaceful state. And then it kind of like goes full circle with what you were talking about at the beginning, because then when you're in this space, you're going to be able to like hear your intuition so much more clearly. Your body's going to be in a more primed state and you're going to have more, I guess like better judgment is a good way to put it, of like what really is an integrity for you to do and what's not, right? Like when we're bringing it back around to like being able to fulfill your goals in a way that feels really, really good to you.
Yeah, definitely. And once you start getting those intuitive messages, then you can really start to then look at like the environment that you're putting yourself in and like the relationships you have, and that all, they all definitely like have a level of impact on our stress. But I think that most of our stress is like perceived stress. So it comes from our thoughts and the mind first. But once we start to like relax and start to get into that, like more those alpha brainwaves, we can like you said, have that better judgment, think more clearly, and we can start to evaluate, like, is it the situation? Like, is this an environment that I need to get out of? Or is it just my thoughts about something about this situation?
Mm-hmm. That's so good. The perceived stress thing. I think that's massive. Oh my God. This conversation has been so good, Rachel. Is there any kind of like last things that you want to add onto it that you feel like you really want to share with the audience or that's coming to mind about these topics?
Yeah, I think like the one thing that I was just thinking was that like I really believe that everything we need is already within us. So sometimes we can be in situations that feel like really overwhelming, whether it's created by stress or anything else. And it can feel like we just need all of these external things to fix us or fix the situation, or like there's something wrong with us. But I feel like it's all triggered by stress and not having access like to our highest state of being. So I really feel like as soon as we start being gentle with ourselves, we can really start to accept that everything we need is within us and we're always being guided to the next step, and we don't have to see the bigger picture straight away. Just follow those like little pieces of guidance to take the next step forward.
I love it. So good. So if people are wanting to get more in your vibe and just like learn more about what you do and just follow you, where can they connect with you? Like what are the best platforms for them to reach you at?
Yeah, so on Facebook and Instagram, at by Rachel White, and I have a free Facebook group called Gentle Souls, a home for your inner light. So I'd love for you to go join that. And yeah, you can read my book, Gentle Glow, if you want to know a little bit more as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know your book's on Amazon. People can look that up. I think on your website as well, everything's linked there. Right? What's your website?
ByRachelWhite.com.
How easy. So by Rachel White everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. And I like, honestly, from my perspective, like having worked with Rachel as her coach for this past, not even 6 months. I don't even know really how long it's been, but it's been amazing. I can honestly say that this woman is committed to her vision. She's so committed to practicing everything that she preaches, and not only creating this for herself, but really sharing that with other people in such a bold way. And she is so amazing. So if you resonate with her message and you're thinking of working with Rachel or connecting with her more, I highly, highly recommend you do so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And to everyone listening, as always, you can always continue the conversation with us over in the Abundant Babes Facebook group as well. If you're not already there, it's linked in the show notes as well. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take a screenshot of the episode, upload it onto your Instagram story and tag both of us. And always, always feel free to message me and or Rachel as well. I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. If there's anything that you kind of want to share with us personally, I would love, love, love to hear from you. I always respond to messages. Thank you so much. And I'll see you on the next episode of the Abundant Babes podcast. Bye-bye.